It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo is right! Hey, welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are going to have a great conversation today with my good friend Roger Bianco. He's a board member for Leadership Program of the Rockies. He's written an excellent op-ed that is at my website at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. It's innocent but irrelevant. Pushing property rights even lower.
Keep pushing them down, yeah.
Keep pushing them down. And this involves something that happened in 2015 in Greenwood Village with a burglar that had gotten into somebody's house, and law enforcement was going after the burglar, and they destroyed the property.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that. Before we get to that, though, as we look at these issues, we look at them, Roger, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force somebody, right?
It seems logical and reasonable to me.
Seems logical. But we continue to see the socialization of the things that make everyday Americans' lives better, like transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, data. And we need to be pushing back on that force and be making the case for freedom. So I want to say thank you to the team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I think that Wednesday is your next favorite day to Friday, Steve.
And why is that?
Because it's the middle of the week.
Oh.
It's hump day.
Yeah, okay, like we just heard. Yeah, all right.
And thank you to my listeners. Thank you for listening. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose, strive for excellence, and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. As we're getting into the holidays here, want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a prosperous 2020. Many of you will be with friends and family, and sometimes people are not with friends and family over the holidays, and that's okay as well. I want you to each know that you are treasured, you're valued, and this Christmas season is for each of you personally. And be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, and podcasts of the shows are there. You now can find them very easily. So, since we're going to be talking about property rights, James Otis. I did not really know who James Otis was, but he, Roger.
I do not know who James Otis
okay,
is.
Okay, let me get to this. And he's actually very...
Otis Day was a singer in the 60s, right? A Motown guy? I think.
Okay, James Otis was one of our founding fathers.
Okay.
He was a lawyer, a political activist, a pamphleteer, and a legislator in Boston. He was a member of the Massachusetts Provincial Assembly, and an early advocate of the patriot views against British policy, which led to the American Revolution. His well-known catchphrase is taxation without representation is tyranny.
Yeah.
And it became the basic patriotic position. He lived from 1725 to 1783. And I chose this just because we were going to be talking about property rights. He said, one of the most essential branches of English liberty is the freedom of one's house. A man's house is his castle.
Yeah, well, he would be rolling in his grave, I'm sure, right now.
That he would. So for our funnies, again, thinking about what your subject is today, Roger.
Okay.
Steve, are you ready? Okay. A bungling burglar.
I'm bursting at the seams, I'm sorry.
There you go.
A bungling burglar had been arrested after he left his mobile phone on charge at the house of one of his victims. The man was disturbed while rifling through rooms in the house in Washington, D.C., and jumped out of a window to escape. Police searched the house later and were surprised to find a cell phone that didn't belong to anyone at the house charging in a socket. Officers called one of the numbers in his contacts, told them the phone owner had been involved in an accident, and asked for his name. That led to the 25-year-old man being arrested and later charged with 10 burglaries. On that note, if you're going to rob somebody's house, don't leave your cell phone there.
That's right.
Isn't that right up there with, it's been several years ago, there was a holdup of some financial institution down near the 16th Street Mall, and the bad guys ran out the front door and hopped on light rail.
That's not going to be a fast getaway.
Smart criminals, you know. No.
Yeah.
Crime does not pay. Crime does not pay.
Crime does not pay.
So just a few upcoming events. You know, it's the holiday seasons, and if you are stretched thin and need some help on the folks are coming over for, you know, an evening, be sure and have Hooters help you out with your holiday party. Wings spice up any holiday party, and you can place your catering order now for the holidays. They have a variety of party platters, and Hooters can spice up any holiday party. And, Roger, we're going to have a bunch of folks over at my house on Sunday evening.
Sunday evening, yes.
And so I'm going to be ordering Hooters Buffalo Wings for
Perfect.
That.
I'll be there early.
Okay, sounds great. Secondly, Christmas, 1 week away, 2 weeks away, New Year's, 3 weeks a day, 3 weeks away, we are convening the 2020 legislative session.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So we are organizing.
They can take a year off, can't they? We'll just, let's just give, we're their bosses. Let's just give them a year off.
You
guys
can
take
That's
a year
right.
off. Unlimited vacation.
And so.
Go away for a while.
They were very, very, they were not very nice to property rights last year.
Really? Yeah. No.
So this year, we are going to organize our Stand for Colorado rally. It's Stanford, Colorado, 2020, January 8th, on the first day of the legislative session, 11 o'clock, west steps of the Capitol. Hardworking, everyday Coloradans, we need to show up and let them know that we are watching and that we want to make sure that government is limited instead of getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. So go to StandForColorado.com. Tonight, we will be announcing our speakers. We have 16 amazing women. Women of the West, and that we'll be talking about these different issues and how they affect our families. So please join us. I know that it is middle of the day, and I know that it's on a weekday, but we need to show up, so plan accordingly. Maybe take a long lunch, maybe take the day off, but plan accordingly because we need to have a really good showing there to let them know that we care. And then thirdly, starting our salon series in 2020, Helen Raleigh, who immigrated from China, and Dr. Paul Prentice, have a town hall on the punches to knock down democratic socialism. It's Monday, January 13th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Water's Edge Winery, and we will have the information on my website probably within the next couple of days on that. So it's going to be really, really great.
That'll be interesting.
And then in February, a mom had reached out to me. We're going to do a salon series on school safety.
Okay.
So anyway, it's going to be an amazing year, 2020.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be a great year. I hope it's a good year for liberty. There's going to be a lot of good things about it. Prayers that it's a good year for liberty.
You know, I'm really encouraged, Roger. I'm really encouraged. People are starting to pay attention. We need to know why we believe what we believe. You know, leadership program in the Rockies, you know, really helps people get their brains around these principles of the American idea and capitalism. I was with some friends last night, and we were talking about capitalism. And, you know, I had to read iPencil in Leadership Program of the Rockies. And basically it talks about all the different things that comes together just to make a pencil. And Christy Whaley had talked about everything that comes together to make a Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh.
And I was thinking, I did not have to raise the turkey. I did not have to butcher the turkey. I did not have to raise the wheat for the pies. I did not have to raise the pumpkin. I did not have to, you know, plant the potatoes.
Yep.
And it's all because of capitalism, and we're taking it for granted these days.
You can even post this on your website. There's a YouTube video, which is masterfully done. I don't know who does it, but if you just go into YouTube and search iPencil, it's a fabulous video, and it caps great thing to show younger people because it's visual and it captures their imagination. And at one point, kind of in the middle, and I think this phrase is in the essay as well, but in the middle, the narrator uses the phrase, says something to the effect of, all this happens with the absence of a mastermind. In other words, there is no know-all central brain or controlling power or authority that is directing this. This is happening because there is a demand for pencils, and there has to be this organic movement of all these resources and people and energy, but no one individual person throughout the entire process of the pencil, of making the pencil, knows how to do it. Most of us kind of take it for granted. I don't know how to make a pencil. If I tried to do it, it would take an awful long time. It would be tremendously inefficient. The only way to allow for efficiency and the beauty of it all is to allow for freedom, economic freedom and liberty kind of go hand in hand. And yeah, and Leadership Program of the Rockies, I always like to say what Leadership Program of the Rockies does is it kind of it mixes you up. It chums the waters, and your brain starts kind of going, oh, I start firing, thinking a little differently on that, thinking a little differently on that. And I had a series of aha moments where the light bulb went off, and, oh, I always wondered about that, and, oh, that's where that fits, and that's what they meant when they said inalienable rights, and just all these things. And it hits you from day one. One of the core parts of, it's an important part of Leadership Program of the Rockies. There is a section on or a class about when does government have the right to violate rights. And we talk about property rights there. And most notably, you watched, at least when I went through, watched the video of the Kelo decision, what happened with that whole thing. We've talked about that in years past.
That was out in New London, Connecticut.
New London, Connecticut.
Where in the guise of economic development,
Right. Government
took people's property because they said it would be good for the community to have these tax revenues. And we actually see that playing out here in the metro area as well.
Very much so, yeah. It plays out in every metro area, even in rural communities.
It does. And then they ended up taking that property, and they never built what they said they were going to build. And Right. So that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And so we've got something kind of like this, I think, or at least somewhat related to it.
It is, yeah.
That happened
related here
in 2015 in Greenwood Village. So, Roger, I know, so we're switching things up just a little bit. We're going to, Roger, you need to get on the road.
Yeah, sorry.
So that's okay. So we're going to talk about your op-ed that is at my website, Innocent but Irrelevant, Pushing Property Rights Even Lower. And then you're going to sneak out of here, and then we're going to go through headlines with Steve in segments 3 and 4. So let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about this very excellent op-ed that you've done. So okay. This is Kim Munson with Roger Bianco. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. And that is Elvis and Santa Claus. I love that. So in studio with me is Roger Bianco. You are on the board of Leadership Program of the Rockies. Property rights is, man, that is so important to you.
It is a hill you got to die on. I always say that because if we lose property rights, which we are losing. And most things, Madison said most infringements on liberty don't come in one big bang, but they, I'm paraphrasing, come in little incremental things, and that's what we're seeing happening with property rights. And it takes a long time for rights to erode in America, but they do.
Well, they do. And what happened back in 2015, apparently there was a burglar that hid out in a home.
Yeah, he robbed the Walmart close to a neighborhood in Greenwood Village or Centennial. I think it was Greenwood Village. Yeah. And he was running from the police. It was not a lot of merchandise that he stole. That was one of the head scratching things about this whole case, and as he was running from the police, they're pursuing him, and he takes refuge in someone's home. So he functionally breaks into someone's home. Now this home happened to be owned by a gentleman named Tom.
I'll look it up while you're doing.
It's for
at the home of Leo Letch.
Leo.
Okay.
Leo Letch, I think. L-E-C-H, because it was Leach. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be L-E-A-C-H. Mm-hmm. So Leo Letch. We'll say Letch. And Leo, we're sorry for mispronouncing your name. Leo owned the home. Excuse me. His son was living there with his son's girlfriend and a young child. I don't know if it was their child, but her son,
okay,
at least. He was, I think, 10, 11 years old, something like that. So, and one of the, as I was researching this, one of the reports said that the son at the time was home alone. So it was, I don't know what time of night, 9, 10, whatever at night, okay. And the son was home alone. And so just imagine, you're an 11-year-old young boy, 10-year-old young boy, you're home alone, and someone breaks into the house. Immediate kind of terror going through this kid's mind of no fault of his own. And that is going to be a consistency in this discussion, of no fault of their own, right? So the child gets out, calls 911. The police figured, hey, this was our guy because it made sense. Mm-hmm. So they show up at Leo's home. To make a very long story short, a 19-hour standoff ensues where for some reason, they couldn't get the guy. He was hiding in a interior room or a bathroom, and they couldn't get him. And so, excuse me, it just seemed like he...
So they just couldn't get to him, and it looks like what they did, I mean, they went after him. They had multiple gas munitions.
Yeah.
They breached the home's front door with a battering ram.
They had an armored vehicle of some sort took down the front door. And then on your website, there's a picture of the backyard. Yeah. And they took out every window. The stated reason why they did that was because they wanted to try to make it more difficult for the assailant to hide. And so after 19 hours, I don't know. I think another report said that the burglar, the criminal had a pistol. And then another report, as I was piecing this together, said there was over 100 law enforcement personnel from multiple agencies in the Denver metro area involved in this. And so he must have been a very good hider, or I don't know what the situation was. And then finally they sent in a SWAT team, so to speak, and got him.
Okay.
But it was 19 hours later. It was almost a full day later that it took them to get this done. In the process, Leo's home was destroyed to the point where the city of Greenwood Village declared it uninhabitable.
Okay.
So he could not live there anymore. So Leo says, well, I didn't really do anything wrong at all. We were completely, I think in the op-ed, I say that he was completely a victim of circumstance of an extraordinary bout of exceptionally bad luck, because mm-hmm. that's what it was. It just random happenstance that this criminal chose their home. They did quite literally nothing wrong. Now, here's where I think it's important to acknowledge, okay, the police had someone in a home who was intending on doing them harm, very clearly. He was firing on them. I think eventually maybe he would have run out of ammunition. I'm not sure why such overwhelming force was used. That does get a little bit fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you think about these things and you go, okay, I think this is a case, if we look at property rights, what Leo sued the police for, and I was unclear on which police department, but he sued the local police department for retribution. He wanted to be made whole. He said, well, you know, you destroyed my home. Pay for me to build my home back. They didn't do it. And so Leo sued. That what they did offer to put him up for a short period, like a few nights, I think, and offered a little bit of retribution, but it was wholly and completely inadequate. Then Leo sues, gets no satisfaction from the court, appeals, goes to the circuit court. Now, I should tell you that, and this is one of the things that kind of sticks in my craw on this, the judges that ruled in favor of or against Leo being made whole on this were both Republicans and Democrats. So there were both Republican-appointed judges and Democrat-appointed judges, which doesn't speak too well to the apparent standing of property rights in the courts, be it people who were campaigned and elected as judges as Republicans or appointed as Republicans or Democrats. It doesn't seem like property rights has a very high place in either party. Mm-hmm. At least that's when I look at things like this. So the court said, nope. This latest decision was in August of this year, and the court said, no, Leo, you don't get money. The police department doesn't have to give you. And there was the nature of the decision that struck me, that when I put property rights and law enforcement on a scale, this is the thing that kind of tipped it to property rights to me. And I'm not sure how we do this. There's some interesting questions here, but Leo, the court said, no, Leo, you were innocent. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're kind of irrelevant in this. Besides, you got insurance money. So because you're insured, you know, we have to get home insurance. Mm-hmm. Because you're insured, that's how you get your retribution. The police cannot be made to be, and the decision was, see if I can find this, the decision was just Judge Nancy Moritz, who was an Obama appointee, in such situations, she concluded the state, quote, cannot be burdened with the condition that the state must compensate affected property owners for, that word, pecuniary.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a legal term. Yep. I'm not a lawyer. Losses that they may sustain in the process. In other words, ancillary losses. So the point being that the police cannot be made to consider property rights while they are in the process of doing their jobs.
Okay. On that point, Roger, I think I agree with that component because and I actually remember in the old days when they were called peace officers instead of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And so certainly when they're doing their job, they can't be thinking about, you know, what they're trying to get the bad guy. They don't know just how bad the bad guy is. And so we don't want to tie their hands on that. Sure. However, they are basically protecting the municipality, the community.
Yeah.
And so how is it fair that Leo loses his property in protection of the community and the community, Greenwood Village or Centennial, whichever it is, does not need to make him whole? Now, there's something that's unfair about that, and yes. I think that the judges missed that.
They
because
did.
It wasn't just between Leo and law enforcement. It was between Leo and the government of this community. And so I think they missed it.
So it becomes a constitutional question. Now, Leo is going, and this is how they justified saying, Leo, you don't have any chance at being made whole. They said that under the Fifth Amendment, which we've talked about, the public use doctrine as opposed to public benefit or... That's where the Kelo case gets mm-hmm. fuzzy. But they said basically the idea was that the Greenwood Village Police Department did not, quote unquote, take his home.
But they
just
did.
Used it this is what the court said. Now, I'm not saying the court's right, but they said they just used it in the process of law enforcement. And that was the process back to where Nancy Moritz said the state must not process or be affected to process any losses or compensate losses in the process of law enforcement. So there was no right to just compensation, which here the striking thing is this trend is really not good for property rights.
Oh, not at all.
Because Kelo put property rights below a local government's desire to have, quote unquote, economic development, mm-hmm. whether it happens or it doesn't, evidently. The Tom's Diner case, which we've looked at in the past, puts property rights below someone else's desire mm-hmm. to not have economic development. So that makes that kind of schizophrenic on its face. Mm-hmm. Then this puts property rights decisively, this decision puts property rights decisively below law enforcement, which you go, it's just keep pushing down property rights legally.
So a couple of things now. So Leo, first of all, he paid for his homeowner's insurance.
Yes.
That should not even be something that is on the table when you're looking at this decision.
That's a good point.
And then he is having to pay attorneys to bring this case forward where the municipality is using taxpayer dollars to fight a property owner who's trying to get his property rights. They didn't use his property.
Destroyed his property, who has been declared an innocent bystander in this process by the courts, but still cannot be made whole. It's very kind of twisted. The ancillary to this, but substantive is that, and irrelevant, is that Leo's insurance company did not reimburse him the full amount for the damages because an insurance company is a company. And so what they're trying to do is to pay him what the policy states, and
and not a penny more.
It's probably actually Leo's probably lucky the insurance company paid him something at all, because I'm sure there's nothing specifically in the policy that states if something random happens mm-hmm. and there's a 19-hour shootout at your home and the police destroy your home, we'll reimburse you. I mean, they'll make you whole. They had to read between the lines to even get something from the insurance company. So and I heard people say that were defending the police department, which I don't know if this is a police department versus Leo. I think this is just where do property rights come in? They must be a high right. Because if you remember, go all the way back to the first conversation we had about this early this year, where James Madison said property is not just the stuff you own, Kim. It is not. Property is not just the physical things. It's what you think. It's your conscience. It's your intellectual property. It's your the way that you worship, if you are a religious person. It's these things that go beyond. So if we've established an American ideal of property is not just your hard assets, we have to stop it at hard assets.
Well, and earlier this week, we had former State Senator Kevin Lundberg on, and he had done a study session last week regarding the effects of Senate Bill 181 and what that is doing to the oil and gas industry in Colorado. And he said, interestingly enough, there has been a Supreme Court rule. Was it a Supreme Court ruling, Steve? Or I think it was, wasn't it? That said that at least the word they're reading that is that there was a takings of. So in this case, there was a takings of Leo's property because it was destroyed mm-hmm. by a government entity. Over here, there is a government policy, Senate Bill 181, that basically is taking the mineral rights and the opportunity for mineral rights owners to be able to develop their property. Yeah. And apparently the Supreme Court has come down in favor of property rights there.
Very good.
So that's going to be huge.
The property rights. So Leo's going to take this to the – he's going to appeal. He is intending to appeal this up because it's circuit court. So I think he's got to appeal it up to the Supreme Court. He's planning on doing this. So we'll see what happens. I don't have a lot of faith that because conservatives have a 5-4 majority, even if they had a 6-3, if Trump gets to appoint another justice, that they would come down on the side of, because there's a great amount of sympathy with law enforcement, and I have that sympathy. So to, like you, Kim, I don't want the police to kind of be hamstrung and handcuffed as the troops could be with these rules of warfare. I mean, it's not a good situation. But I just go, 100 people, multiple holes in the home, you're pulling down the front door, there's one guy with a pistol. Do you have to completely destroy the house? And if you do, doesn't he have he's innocent. Doesn't Leo have a fair claim to be being made whole?
He absolutely does. And I know we're going to have to go to break here in just a minute. But the question is sometimes courts don't get it right. What is the right thing to have happen here? Is in the situation where law enforcement is trying to protect the community, the other citizens from this bad guy, they destroyed Leo's property. And so the right thing to do, and I'm actually very dismayed that the leaders in either Greenwood Village or Centennial, whichever town it was, that they didn't step up to the plate and say, yes, you know what, we owe Leo because in trying to protect our other citizens, we don't want to hamstring or whatever the word is, our law enforcement. They were going after the bad guy to protect the whole community, and so the whole community should help out with Leo's property, and we should make sure that he's made whole.
Yeah, yeah. That's because then, at least in this equation, I put law enforcement and Leo's property rights kind of on a scale here, and at least in this equation, there is a respect for the innocent homeowner's property rights. The striking thing about this is that is not even in the thought process. It is dismissed by the courts. I don't necessarily blame the police as much as I blame the judges. It is dismissed by the courts just right out of hand. It's dismissed and using the Constitution to justify dismissing a property right. You see how it's gotten so twisted in some circles that you just kind of think, take it all, step back and look at it. Kelo and Tom's Diner and this and all the other examples of takings, government takings, and property rights just get once held as a revered, high, and critical right in the United States continue to get pushed down and down, mostly for the convenience of government.
Mostly for you're absolutely right on that. So, Roger, I know that you need to get on the road here, but be sure and go to my website. Your piece is there, innocent but irrelevant, and a picture of the house. I mean, it's astounding what they did to that. Really, thank you so much for being in studio, and thank you for this op-ed as well.
No worries. I appreciate you having me, and this is going to be something that's going to not go away.
Okay, well, we're going to stay on it. Property rights are so important, and property rights are the things that has made America great. The fact that we can have a vibrant middle class is because of property rights.
Yeah, that's essentially, that's a big, big part of it. And it's actually a big part of prosperity universally across the world. When property rights are respected, that's one of the key elements that helps a country become more prosperous.
Thrive and prosper. So, Roger, I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you on Sunday.
To everyone listening, Merry Christmas.
You bet. And keep
Happy
up the good work and a prosperous 2020.
Thank you. There you go.
And speaking of somebody that helps people prosper, that is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, what do you think about this this whole thing about the police destroying this guy's house?
Well, you know, maybe a tent is becoming more attractive all the time. One, because they'd never think about doing that to a homeless person. It wouldn't be allowed. And if they did, they would probably pay for a new tent.
Well, actually, they're talking about paying for a new tent. Speaking of that, Jason, I don't think that you've seen this, but Patty found this. The city of Oakland, hopefully I can get to this this headline. The city of Oakland, get this. This is from Fox News. During a city council meeting on Tuesday, Oakland City Council President Rebecca Kaplan broached the idea of using a cruise ship to house up to 1,000 homeless people, suggesting a ship be brought to the Port of Oakland as the region deals with skyrocketing costs of living and a shortage of affordable housing. I don't think that that's going to be a cruise ship that I want to get on, Jason.
Well, you know, they could have gambling, all kinds of stuff on there, you know, Wheel of Fortune type games. I don't know. Doesn't sound like the worst idea.
Donny and Marie Osmond might come in. And
yeah, yeah,
right.
It could be interesting. So anyway, I what's on your radar this morning, Jason?
Well, I wanted to mention sometimes a forgotten tax break or an account that business owners can use for a tax break. If you're kind of just a sole proprietor, someone that works on a 1099 basis and you don't have employees, what's called a SEP IRA is a very easy plan to set up. And Kim, you're allowed to contribute up to 25% of your net after expense income into a SEP each year, up to a maximum of about $56,000. So for business owners that are, you know, being paid pretty well, that they're sold, you know, again, they don't have employees, it's kind of just them. This is a very simple account to set up to be able to get a very nice tax break. And that can be done all the way up until the tax filing deadline for the business owner. So you don't even have to break your neck to do it by the end of the year.
Wow. And so that is something people really should consider. And so they have a little bit of time to do that. And as you mentioned, I mean, planning for the future, planning for regarding taxes. And as you say, you know, you want to pay every dollar you're legally supposed to pay, but not a penny more. And there's ways to alleviate that. And I would suggest that people sit down with you and your team over at Presidential and do a discovery session to make sure that you're putting yourself in a situation for your most successful economic prosperity in 2020.
Well, I think that sounds like a heck of a good idea. And when you do that, you know, this is taking taxes into consideration. I mean, I hate to repeat whoever was a smart guy who said this, but, you know, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. So thinking about the bottom line is very smart, too.
Oh, that's for sure. So, Jason, thank you so much. And if people would like to get more information or set up a discovery session, Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. That number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And our landing page, AIR, that's like A-I-R, we're on the air, airpresidential.com, has all kinds of great information there as well. You guys do a weekly podcast. Just, you guys are really working it. So thank you so much.
Yep, no problem, Kim. Well, we sure appreciate you and look forward to Christmas next week. And, you know, of course, we have a new national holiday today. It's National Foregone Conclusion Day. Right?
Yeah, it looks like that's the case. That's going to happen here in a little bit. So, Jason McBride, thank you so much. You have a great day, and we will talk to you. I guess we're going to talk to Buck tomorrow, though. We're going to talk to John Buckingham tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so we will miss you and wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times
so
a day,
does she want to
CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen.
Okay.
Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Do you know we have homeless veterans in our area? That's why KLZ, with your help, is having a donation drive. The Axe Resource Center is requesting cleaning and toiletry items that can be found in the kitchen, bathroom, and laundry room. Drop-off locations are in Wheat Ridge, Fort Collins, and Colorado Springs. To help with this veterans donation drive and more information, visit our website, klzradio.com. Have a holly
jolly. Well, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Apparently, we are preparing for our April 1st show. We are having things that we can play for April Fools. And sorry about that. We had a hot mic, Steve, as we were talking about this next thing. A caller apparently called in regarding what Roger and I were talking about, law enforcement destroying this guy's house. And I think there's concern about possibly tying the hands of law enforcement, and that is not what we're talking about, Steve. And what's your thoughts on that?
Well, the point she brought to up, and she got to the point quickly, was the tactics of the police, and she made an excellent point. And that's to be sorted out in another show with other people who are more knowledgeable on those things. I kind of hedged because the debate now, or the topic between you and Roger, was the end response back to the homeowner that's saying,
right,
well, you're on your own, pal, and that's a tough break for you.
Well, and that's the thing that we have to be so concerned about, is that if government, for whatever reason, takes somebody's property, whether or not it's intellectual property, or, for example, in the case of Jack Phillips with Masterpiece Cake Shop, where government said, if you do not affirm something that we say that you have to affirm, then we're going to use policy to take your business. So when we have government stomping all over property rights, we need to stop and say, wait a minute. And that was so important to the founders. Property rights was inherent in the American idea. And so this thing that happened in Greenwood Village, it's not a law enforcement, although it looks to me like that's the way they set it up in the court case. But it really is more about, should the municipality pay the homeowner because his property was destroyed while the municipality, which was law enforcement, was trying to protect everybody else. It's not fair that he takes the brunt of the bad guy and everybody else lives in peace and harmony, and he's not made whole. That's my view on that, Steve. Your comment?
Well, as you and Roger were talking, I'm watching through the glass here, and right away I'm starting thinking that, well, was it the police department per se, or Greenwood Village, who is the municipality in question here? They said, no, we don't owe you anything. And I'm thinking, based on what grounds? And
good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a really good question as well. So now, property rights, we continue to talk about it because it's not boring. It's so important that and the founders realize that we need to be able to protect people's property rights. And if government takes it for whatever reason, then the property owner is entitled just compensation. It's the right thing to do. And I, at this point, I don't think the right thing has happened. And it looks like this may be headed to the Supreme Court.
Well, and then it'll be a fascinating thing to watch. Another homegrown thing here in Colorado that makes it all the way up to the Supreme Court. But add property rights to the list, the long list of things that people just don't seem to care much about until
it's theirs.
It's theirs. The issue is now theirs.
You know, that's an interesting point. How about if we all just put ourselves in the place of Leo? And if law enforcement came in and destroyed our home, and everybody else, all my neighbors are safe, you know, we're trying to get the bad guy, they destroy my home, and then I'm on the hook for that. I mean, how would you feel about that, Steve?
Well, after seeing the picture, I've seen it a couple times now, of his house after the fact. Can anybody imagine after a long day at work, you're driving through your neighborhood or up your long driveway if you live in the country, and seeing your house totally decimated like that? What thoughts go through your mind? And then you go through the process of, trying to interact with the different agencies only to find out that, I'm sorry, you're on your own. How do you feel?
Yeah. And I think that we would all say, wait a minute, it's not fair that I take the brunt of this. And so, once again, we do not want to tie the hands of law enforcement doing their legitimate job on this to take, to protect everybody else. But if in the course of those events, property is taken, then that person needs to be made whole.
Does it make you curious now? I mean, we all know how the insurance industry works. I'd like to maybe go home and read my homeowner's policy and see if there's something in there that points to this.
Yeah, but once again, I don't think the fact that he had insurance or didn't have insurance, that should not be irrelevant to, and that should not be relevant to this particular case. So, Steve, I tell you what, let's go to break. When we come back, we've got a couple of things. There's a really great feel-good story that Patty has found, and that is this young Daniels Fund scholar who is grateful for what he was given by the Daniels Fund. So let's go to break. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Here we come a-caroling among the leaves so green.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we've got a really good feel-good story here. But many of you may remember that the Daniels Fund came under fire, if you will, because they said that they're going to be asking some questions to their applicants just about trying to ascertain whether they like America, they like the American idea, and they came under fire. And Candy C. DeBaca, who is now on the Denver City Council, took issue with this. So I'm looking at an article that was in the Colorado Independent. We talked about it a few weeks ago. And she was quoted as saying, "I used to be a proud Daniels Fund scholar. The new application draws criticism for questions about patriotism and capitalism." It says, "Agree or disagree with these statements. Government should decide how business profits are distributed. Number two, I don't feel much of an attachment to the USA. Number three, differences in social standing are an incentive to work harder." It says, "High school seniors from across the West seeking the prestigious Daniels Fund scholarships were asked to answer these and other questions on a newly designed application this year. Another question asked which flag evokes the strongest positive emotion, an American flag, a Canadian flag, a burning American flag, or the Mexican flag." And it says the application's contents provoked a strong reaction on social media right before the deadline. Some upset former recipients wondered whether the program had lost its way and a foundation representative defended its rationale and values. Candy C. DeBaca said, "I used to be a proud Daniels Fund scholar. Then I learned their politics and then was just grateful." She said, "I saw their 2019 scholarship application questions tonight after a student asked for recommendation, and now I'm straight up appalled and determined to fight as hard as we can for free college, period." So, I think, Steve, one of the great ways to have free college is to have all of the professors just work for free.
There's a start. Let's see how long that lasts.
Let's see how that goes. No, I don't think that they're saying that they would work for free. I think that they're saying that we would take more money from hardworking everyday Coloradans to pay for college? And why is it fair that if somebody decides to not go to college, maybe go to a trade school, become an electrician or a plumber, and they go to work immediately, why on earth should they pay taxes for somebody else to have free college, right?
Well, let's get to the very bottom of this whole, the term, free college. Does any thinking person really, really come to grips with, you know, or really think that it's free? I guess I'm tongue-tied here because it's such a bizarre notion. Mm-hmm. It's not free. Mm-hmm. It's got to come from somewhere. And where do you think that's going to come from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, the thinking doesn't take them that far.
Well, that's true.
Especially to with a nation that's $22 trillion in debt. Yeah.
Okay. So let's put that over there. We've talked about that before. And my hat is off to the Daniels Foundation for asking these questions. Bill Daniels was a World War II Navy fighter pilot. He was an entrepreneur. He was a capitalist. He came up with an idea that people freely traded their hard-earned dollars for because they wanted that service. He was really the father of cable television. So let's go over here, and this is a young woman, and this is from ColoradoPolitics.com. It says, only in America could a young refugee from a war-torn nation have the opportunity to attend a private high school and earn a scholarship to one of the most prestigious universities. I share my story in the hope that it will inspire those who seem to be losing hope in the freedom and opportunity offered by this great nation. I just got chills as I read that, Steve. She said, as a child, my family lived in the Sudan, then ruled by a totalitarian-style government. There was no freedom of speech, nor were we allowed to openly practice our Christian faith. When the decades-long civil war came to our village, my mother swept me, my brother, and our cousins into a camp. We were eventually evacuated to a Kenyan refugee camp and spent 6 years there. But we were lucky because eventually we were granted asylum status in the United States. Like others across the globe, we recognized America as the land of freedom and opportunity. But when we arrived, we discovered that achieving success would not be easy. Speaking limited English and with few financial resources, my mom found an apartment for us in a low-income neighborhood in Denver. We were enrolled in the local public school where we found that most students were not proficient in reading or math and that bullying was commonplace. I have to stop and ask you, how on earth can we be paying so much for public education in the state of Colorado and in this public school that we have students that are not proficient in the things that make their life better, being able to read and do math? She said, then my mom heard about Arupe Jesuit High School. I know about this school. It's amazing. It's a school known for its focus on academic and spiritual excellence. In other countries, a top-quality education is only available to a privileged few. Now, we could not afford the modest tuition at Arupe until my brother and I both received support from ACE Scholarships, which they do amazing work. It's a program supported by selfless people in the community who give generously to empower low-income families with the ability to provide their children with the benefits of a private school education. She says, thanks to ACE Scholarships, my brother and I were able to attend Arupe for all 4 years of high school. Still, my dream of attending college seemed out of reach until I was encouraged to apply for a scholarship from the Daniels Fund. This foundation was started by Bill Daniels, who grew up during the Great Depression, was a fighter pilot in World War II in Korea, and was a driving force in the development of cable television. When he died in 2000, he left his estate to help people in need in the Rocky Mountain region. Each year, the Daniels Fund awards 204 year college scholarships, allowing students who demonstrate character, leadership, and service to attend any four-year nonprofit college or university in the United States. I am honored to have received the scholarship, which is allowing me to attend Notre Dame University. Earning the Daniels Scholarship was an incredible accomplishment in my life, second only to becoming a citizen of the nation that produces programs like Arupe, Jesuit High School, ACE Scholarships, and individuals like Bill Daniels. I am proud to be a Daniels Fund Scholar. I support the foundation's efforts to improve their application process with an increased focus on honoring Bill Daniels' intent by finding students who embrace American ideals such as free enterprise, freedom of expression, and a personal commitment to serving others. And I'm probably not going to do her justice on her name. It's Aluel Doldal, a native of Sudan. She grew up in Denver and attends the University of Notre Dame in Notre Dame, Indiana. a Daniel Scholar. Does that not make you feel good, Steve?
It does, and it also raises two questions. One, can we put her on the same shelf as Helen Raleigh?
I think we could.
Okay. Question number two, can we arrange a meeting between her and Ms. C.D. Baca on the Denver City Council? Could we sit them in the same room and have them talk about their experiences?
Are you saying that we should plan a show in 2020 around this and make that invitation?
Yeah.
Okay. Make a note of that. We'll go to work and we'll see if we can make that happen.
In a heartbeat.
Okay. Let's see. What else was I going to talk about here? Hold on here. Coming through. Oh, I know what it was. And this was the whole Charles Schwab thing. I've got to find that. Okay.
While you're looking, can I raise up another one that I need to do some research on? Apparently, you know, Attorney General William Barr made some comments where he spoke to the Fraternal Order of Police, and the whole nature of his speech was the falling amount of respect or the lack of respect for law enforcement and the possible outcomes. Now, I need to go read his text, the transcript, because all I can find right now is people's screwball reactions to it, and they're off the wall. I can't believe people really think these things. So I can't comment on it today. I need to go find that transcript, but that's certainly a topic coming.
Okay, so you have some homework to do on that. Okay, next thing here. It is our second article. This is from the Denver Business Journal. It says, when Sam Bailey, Vice President of Economic Development at the Metro Denver Economic Development Corp., saw the news that Charles Schwab planned to buy rival TD Ameritrade last month, his hope that the San Francisco-based company would move its headquarters to Lone Tree, Colorado, died. In May, 6 months prior to that announcement, the Metro Denver Economic Development Corp., Lone Tree, and Colorado, Lone Tree and Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade Officials sent the financial services giant a 17-page document titled Charles Schwab Lone Tree Headquarters Invitation, which the Denver Business Journal obtained via a public records request. The document includes a letter from Betsy Markey. Now, remember Betsy Markey? Wasn't she a congresswoman? And she's now the executive director of the Office of Economic Development. So just a note here. See how cronies can then, if somebody doesn't get reelected, they can get a job on a government dole on other things. I just needed to make that point. They invited Charles Schwab to apply for a Colorado job growth incentive tax credits. We support the efforts of the City of Lone Tree and encouraging your continued growth in Colorado and hope you will consider additional investment in your campus. This could include these credits, which we estimate for 1,500 jobs at your previous average annual wage and could generate somewhere in the range of $20 to $25 million in state corporate income tax credits for your company. That's $20 to $25 million. Did you hear that? Now, these are the same people that say that we don't have enough money, and so they said that they wanted to ask for your Tabor tax refunds in this last election. They are the same people that's going to be asking you to get rid of Tabor, the Colorado's taxpayer of rights, because they do not want to be constrained and have to ask you if they're going to increase our taxes. They don't want to have to ask us if they're going to incur debt, and they don't want to have to ask us if they want to keep our Tabor tax refunds. But man, oh man, they seem to have a lot of money, and they want to create 1,500 jobs just at that campus. Steve, just think about the amount of traffic that's going to cause, at those intersections down there.
Do I have to think about it? I live with it almost every day.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, as you know, I served on Lone Tree City Council, and I had many times asked whether or not the City of Lone Tree had offered Charles Schwab incentives to come to our city. And the answer on that they gave me was no. But as Patty has done more research, we realize that in fact, they did receive money from the state. And what we have finally figured out is a municipality may not offer that, but they go to the Colorado Office of Economic Development, and then they offer the package. And so quite frankly, if in fact it is better for, in essence, a Charles Schwab or fill in whatever big corporation you want to pay less in taxes because they're getting these incentives, or if they're not having to adhere by all the rules and regulations of everybody else, instead of government picking winners and losers, how about we lower taxes across the complete spectrum and we lower rules and regulations across the spectrum. And I would submit to you that this economy would really take off. But you know what? When you've got PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, that they can pick winners and losers, it gives them all kinds of power and makes them feel really important. And that is one of the reasons why we need to continue to shed light on this. Steve, your final comment on this.
We have done, just in the last 2 or 3 months, we have covered so much ground in this arena alone. And you come back and you look at it again, it's like, is this, I don't know, it's just like, is it ever going to stop? Is it anything where the corporations can move around like this, kind of like behind the scenes, in a way, and the taxpayer usually ends up taking the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm. I know it. And the other thing is there's a couple of big properties, or, you know, relatively good-sized properties that have been vacant in Lone Tree for a long, long time. And I would submit that, and not just Lone Tree, I'm not just pulling them, but across, up and down the metro area, hey, you know, PBIs, instead of trying to control things, lower taxes, lower regulations, make it an even playing field so that the little guy can compete with the big guy. And instead of making the little guy pay full fare and then using that money to give incentives to the big guy, you know, let's stop doing that. So, okay, I guess we're out of time. Okay, James Otis, we talked about him earlier in the hour, the founding father. He said, can there be any liberty where property is taken away without consent? So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless each of you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.